The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, one of the friends, Dermot Gavin, good morning and welcome.
Morning,
garden designer, horticulturalist, and now offering us consultation service.
Yes, with technology now you can be in anybody's living room kind of instantly. So we've developed this new way of connecting with people. If people want an hour-long consultation, they'll send in pictures of the garden, videos. I'll have a look at them, get ready to meet them, and then they can book their hour whenever suits them. And I'm there.
And you'll spend an hour going through the garden.
Exactly, exactly. Looking at the images, understanding what the issue is. They might just want to rejuvenate a part of the garden. They might want ideas for a completely new garden. They might want ideas on why planting isn't working or is working and they want to enhance it further. So I'll help them do that. So it's a kind of one-on-one video consultation. And
you are charging for it, I presume?
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. I think the charge is €279, but I do my homework beforehand and give them lots of advice.
Okay, so if they want to transform the garden, it can be done via Zoom.
Yeah, or just getting that information to save a lot of money, or yeah, giving them information about the direction of the garden. So I would hope it would add value. It allows me to work from one place. And if people want to do it, there's links on my Instagram, biography, or I've put up a story today.
Very good, German. Okay, you want to talk to me about the Sacro Bosco Gardens in Lazio.
So this is a very different garden. About 6 weeks ago, we had a chat to which I got an amazing response about the Villa d'Este, yeah, which, again, is in a place called Tivoli. And this would have been a typical Renaissance garden built by the Cardinal d'Este, who wanted to make himself very, very grand. And it's all about control of nature, symmetry and telling stories. Now, this garden, the Sacro Bosco, is also about telling stories. Mind you, nobody's really quite sure about what the stories are that this
girl
wants
to build. I mean, it's a bit spooky.
It's very spooky. It's one of these things about gardens. So if you think about it, Pat, what would your initial reaction to the idea of a garden being? We think of
Organized. Pathways, maybe the odd fountain feature here and there, but everything just so.
And you're talking about beauty and prettiness.
Yeah.
And we've relaxed into this idea of beauty and prettiness and not really allowed ourselves to create for a long time gardens that say anything different. We have memorial gardens, of course, to remember loved ones, or we have gardens that are dedicated to peace. But they're quite sedate. Yeah.
And if you think of the Palace of Versailles and the organised gardens there, which are fabulous, but very
controlled.
Very controlled. By the way, have you been to the Gaudi garden in Barcelona up on the hill?
Unbelievable. One of my first big inspirations.
Yeah. Because that's all over the place and it's great.
And surreal. And one of the places that Gaudi garden would have had its genesis is in the gardens we're going to talk about today. I remember do you remember on a Thursday night watching Top of the Pops with your parents in the room and hoping nothing too outrageous could hear. But when I was growing up, the idea of pop music being able to say all sorts, sometimes just joyous, sometimes anti-government, sometimes about people being unemployed, sometimes it was about sex. Every avenue of life was explored. Well, we don't really get that in gardens. And gardens are one of the most creative forms that there are.
How old is this garden?
So, 1500s, about 1550, 1560.
And who built it and who designed it?
So, there was a guy called Orsini. He was the local duke or the local big aristocrat. And he had a 7-acre park in this area, north of, about an hour and a half north of Rome, where all the aristocrats had their big estates. So, he got Piero into. So, Piero had worked he'd been drafted in to, after Michelangelo died, he'd been drafted in to work on the Sistine Chapel, but he'd also created the gardens of the Villa d'Este, which were the epitome of power and order and grandiosity in a way. So this guy decided he wanted a garden that was different. And in a way, it's a garden that's a bit of a vision of hell. Yeah. So it's filled with grotesque statues and creations that are, Well, just very, very different. You have a statue of Hercules. So this, so he's going back to the myths of ancient Rome and ancient Greece. But the statue of Hercules is really, really frightening. Hercules is standing very, very tall and he's ripping another guy apart. He has his legs up in the air and he's ripping the whole body apart.
There's another statue. You've sent me pictures of an elephant. And whether it's Hannibal on top of the elephant, I don't know. But the centurion down below is being devoured by the elephant.
Being devoured by the elephant. So these were all sculptures. We don't know who created the sculptures. We know that they were designed, sculpted using the natural stone of the site. So they were built on site, which was very unusual for that time, because somebody like Michelangelo would have worked from his studio. And the photographs are amazing. There's also that house that defies gravity.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it here now. It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but it's a house.
In a house. Yeah. And everything about it is surreal. So these are myths, scary stories built within a woodland. And they would have had an extraordinary and quite scary effect, because a lot of people would have been invited to see this in the evening. So there's one giant mount, and there are lovely photographs that exist, because this garden was lost for nearly 500 years. It was devoured by the countryside around it. But there's one big mount which has become very, very famous, and inside the mount, and it's like an ogre or a devil or something like that, about to eat you, because it's open, you can see the teeth protruding, big eyes, furrowed brow. And in that mouth, they used light fires. So can you imagine travelling through that garden in the middle of the night and coming across this?
And there is a picture which you sent me of Salvador Dali sitting in the mouth.
So Salvador Dali is the guy who's responsible for rediscovering it, because it was quite surreal. It fueled his work and the work of Gaudi and many people who worked in surrealism thereafter. Not only are there pictures, but he made I have a 4-minute film he made, which I'll post on Instagram a little bit later. So it had a big effect on the culture.
What state is it in now? Is it restored?
It's restored. So once Gaudi came along in the 1950s, was photographed there, all of a sudden fashion magazines went down, fashion models, people became really interested. There is a lack of understanding, as I say. So that all builds up the mystery as to, you know, why was it built? They reckoned Orsini, who commissioned it, was really devastated by the death of his wife. And it was a fight between a kind of good and evil and all the emotions maybe he was going through.
Easy to get to?
Very easy to get to. Again, with Italy, you can get trains. There are car journey, if you rent a car, about an hour and a half from
the
Rome.
Sacro Bosco Gardens in Lazio.
In Lazio.
Famed for its football.
Absolutely.
German Gavin, thank you very much for...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.